Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and YouTube and Facebook Live. Pete Gray here, along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to the almost sunny San Diego, right? San Diego Landings in Point Loma. We have the entire crew. Well, not the entire crew. There's a bigger crew than this.
Where's Henry?
Brandon, Jake, and Alex from Bite Sport Fishing. We're missing Henry. But, boy, what a great show. And if you're missing this, man, this is the one to keep.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Really stoked to have all the boys in the studio this morning and so much great info and just having a great time this morning. If you want to join us on the second hour on the stream, give us a text, man. We'd love to be reading your text questions. Lots of great show of Let's Talk Hookup still ahead of you. The only way to send in a text to the show is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. We said it before. It's a free download. It's the easiest way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup. You can hear all the archive shows. Send in your text. Make sure you include a name and a phone number because we're giving away a full-day trip on board the San Diego to one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show today, and that might just be you.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, text only this hour on Saturday. Of course, reminder, 8 to 9 on Saturday. We are on the Let's Talk Hookup app and YouTube and Facebook Live only. And then tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., we'll be on all three platforms, 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, as well as our Let's Talk Hookup app, which is majority of the listeners are on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Let's Talk Hookup app. Let's just face it, that's the way of the world these days.
Right? I did not see that coming. I didn't think that would be a thing. And you know,
we grew up with, this has been 33 years on this, and there was no app. There was no YouTube, Facebook Live 33 years ago. It was radio.
Yeah, having fun getting to see, that was so much fun about the PCS show is you get to see everybody, and you get to BS with guys that you don't normally get to see every day. And the amount of people who came by the Fisherman's Landing Tackle booth and were talking about the show and love your Brandon and all those kinds of things, the amount of people who watch it live blew me away. Yeah. I just assumed it was more of a, hey, I listen on the radio, whatever. It was just person after person. Hey, I love that part of it. Really stoked. And, that blew me away. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So, thanks. Yeah, everybody that came by the Let's Talk Hookup booth or Fisherman's Landing booth or, of course, the Bite Sport Fishing booth. You guys had a deluxe.
Your booth looked really nice, man. You guys did a really good job.
I was happy with that operation. Killer. Yeah, they did a great job.
Kudos to Bill and Mike and the crew at PCS for doing a phenomenal job of that show. I mean, it was state of the art.
The PCS show is like the Jake of fishing shows. I've never heard someone complain. Right? No one's ever. People love it. It's good vibes.
Cool vibe. It's really cool. Yeah.
How they pulled it off? I was super worried about day one. Thursday was raining. It was cold. It was like, oh man, this is gonna.
Man, I felt for
this is gonna be tough.
For Nate and Nick at the West Coast Marine on that day, man, that afternoon, that evening.
Dude, it was
still so boats.
It was still killer. Yeah. The vibe was great. The people were great. It was fun. Everything. It was just awesome.
It was packed on Thursday.
They crushed it. Yeah. They crushed it. It was such a good show. Smooth, well run. Awesome. We loved it.
A lot to see.
Yeah, we loved it.
Yeah, it was a really good
show. Decided they're going to bring it to San Diego next year.
Yeah, next year, mid March.
Yeah.
They announced the dates first up in Costa Mesa and then Del Mar.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Spilled the beans on Let's Talk Hookup.
That's right.
As it
should
be.
Before it was officially announced.
Yeah,
it was pre-announced on Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, pretty darn cool.
Well, let's find out what's biting.
You got it, bro. It is time for that catch report today at fishdope.com. Report is sponsored by Gamakatsu. If you like to fish for tuna and you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you are leaving bites on the table. The Nautilus circle hook comes in sizes as small as a number 4 and up to a 6-0. And for big fish, the Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not with an oversized wire. Both come with rings or non-rings. You can see your local dealer or check gamakatsu.com for more information. We've got the man, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Well, good morning, Rick and Pete, Brandon, Jake, Alex, man, the all-star crew for sure in there. That's awesome.
Hey, Mark.
Now you did it. Nice job. Yeah. We've got new buttons now that we never had before.
Emoji buttons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fun. Okay, so this today is a milestone report. after doing this for, what is it, Pete?
33 plus years. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my God. Anyway, so what I usually do is all week long, from the time we finish the report Saturday, start gathering information. I make notes and then summarize those notes on one page of legal pad and use those notes as an outline for the report that I do. And virtually always, I got more than enough to fill the page. I got to sift through. And today, you know, between the weather and the fishing and the water that's rolled, I mean, it just sucks offshore. So we're going freestyle. We got nothing.
Yeah, it's just,
you know, what is biting? It's the same whitefish, bass, gulping on the structure spots, a few halibut, you know, here and there. I think a couple of days, some of the sport boats had a few nice ones, but just God, very little. Catalina has just been harsh. The outer islands have been untouched because of the weather. So, you know, it just is what it is, and we call it like we see it. But it is mid March. And some years that sea bass fishing over at Catalina gets good, used to be good. I think it seems like the whole thing is shifting a little later. We just don't seem to have that winter fishing like we used to. But, you know, we're always bummed at this time of year because, you know, there's normally a three fish limit. And today's the day, I think today's the day that it goes to one. And we were always brokenhearted because we were catching all these nice big ones and had to go down to one. And definitely not been an issue this year. But at some point, this weather will straighten out. The wind will back off. The water will get unrolled and get straightened out, and maybe we'll catch some fish again. I like that idea. See that in a couple. Yeah, it's gonna sooner or later.
Well, this week doesn't look so bad.
No, we got a little weather coming first the week, and then after that, it looks like it's gonna start straightening out. But you know, it's going to take a little time, and so we're just going to have to see. I would imagine that over at the island, you know, I love that shallow-water beach fishing, and I imagine that might be a little behind schedule this year. Probably see some deep-water fish as soon as we can get out there and fish them. And we'll just have to see what happens. And in terms of other exotics, you know, halibut around all the time. And in terms of yellowtail, you know, last year wasn't our best yellowtail year up here. You guys had that good fishing at the Coronados. We kind of struggled a little up here, comparatively speaking. But, you know, at some point it's going to straighten out, and at some point I'm going to have that problem having way the hell too much to talk about and, you know, not enough time to talk about.
We're anxious for those days, for sure.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that Mark's been doing this report longer than Jake's been alive.
Wow. And Alex probably too, right?
Almost.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, well, as you can hear, fishdope.com is your stuff that you need. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no stakes, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And Mark, how do we find you?
We're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is 714-840-4262. The website is PacificEdgeTackle.com. And I'll make up something for next week, even if we don't have any.
Oh, it's going to bite. Something's going to bite this week. You think, Jake?
We'll get something.
Yeah.
We'll get something this
something's
week.
Something's going to bite. All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. That's going to wrap up.
We'll see you guys.
Thanks, Mark. That's going to wrap up the Catch Report. Again, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations today. I got to put a little Fisherman's Processing thing in. They are so crazy accommodating. We had a very special order of one of our boats that is in the one of our customers that has several boats kind of around the world, and right now they have one of their boats in the Canary Islands, and like this is the start of the Big Eye and Bluefin fishery for that, you know, that part of the world. And they're from here and took some flying fish on their first trip down there and fished them the same way that we do. And nobody fishes a rigged flying fish from the kite. They had a few in their freezer. And is the first few that they put out, they caught a bunch of big yellowfins. They anchored on a spot that nobody anchors. Long story short, they said, hey, this was a thing. We need more of them. We had to fly 100 flying fish to the East Coast to get put on a container ship to get shipped to the Canary Islands for their next trip. I had no clue how on earth we were going to pull this off. I called Marilee and just without even a teeny bit, like, oh, yeah, bring them down. We'll take care of it. We took all the flying fish. They prepped them. They froze them, boxed, shipped, FedEx, next day air. They're already on. In 2 days, they went from the freezer at the tackle store to on a container ship on the way to the Canary Islands. And Fisherman's Processing handled everything.
Wow.
And, like, they are just – they're so smooth.
Yeah, like,
nothing,
if you don't live here and you want to have your fish shipped, they got it down.
Nothing phases them at all. Like, just, oh, yeah, got it. And, like, the efficiency at which they work, too. Like, I dropped it off, and hours later, like, here's a picture. Here's the dimensions of your box. Here's the tracking number. It'll be here this day. Like, there was a lot of moving parts. Just nothing. They are so killer.
Can you
it was a great experience.
Being in a new area like that and throwing a new thing out there, and it's like, oh, this works.
We need to have – it's. I'll just say it. It's for Grossbeck.
Of and we
need
it's for Grossbeck.
We need to have him on the show to talk about
yeah.
it. So, like, this particular – the trip previous, they were fishing some area, you know, outside of Portugal on, you know, one of the islands out there, and there's a deep water spot that people only troll over every so often, but it's anchor a bull, and the conditions were right. They put the anchor down, and the first flyer that they sent back got eaten on the way out. It was a 275 yellowfin.
Oh.
They continued to catch one on every bait until passengers were done and waved the white flag, and then they just hung out and watched them jumping around. It sounded the fishing was okay for trolling a vinyl marlin lure around, and the big
sure.
fish would bite it every so often, but every single flyer they put back got smoked.
Wow.
And then, like, then they left and trolled home and got a 500-pound blue marlin. Like, just some spectacular mission that we'll have to get the full debrief on one of these days on Let's
cool.
Talk. Yeah, so rad.
Speaking of processing fish, and I know, you know you're really obsessed when you have dreams about fishing and catching stuff. Someday I dream of catching a swordfish, right?
Mm.
Hasn't happened on my boat yet, and it hasn't happened. But I thought, okay, you get this thing on the boat, then what do you do with it, right? So, Jake, what do you do with it? You take it to Fisherman's Processing? How do you get that fish aboard and then make sure that it's going to be a good quality piece of meat once you get it aboard?
Well, quality is always our number one. Like, with tunas and everything else, I'm super anal with, like, proper, like, on-deck care to make sure the meat quality turns out really good. Swordfish is kind of, like, one of the most resilient meats out there. It's like the anti-fish. You don't even need ice or anything, really.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Because they're so cold. The water depth that they live in, it's so cold down there. Like, even if you go to gill and gut it or something, you stick your hand inside that body cavity, and it's freezing cold.
Huh.
So you don't even really need to do anything. You could just, if you're going to sit there and fish the rest of the day, yeah, you want to cover it and do all that. But most of the time we catch them, we're high-fiving them, we're on our way
you're
in.
Yeah.
On the scale.
So yeah, you kill and gut it?
No, not with those things. I do when we get in. And what we do is it kind of like commercial style. You core it out. You cut the head, fins, and all the guts off. You cut the tail off. The one thing that is different with those, you don't want to cut them the same day. It's not like a tuna where it's like, oh, you need this fresh right now. You kind of cut them, like, at least 24 hours later.
Yeah.
They're all a big, giant muscle. They don't even have bones. It's just cartilage, no rib bones, nothing. So what you want to do is, like, let them sit on ice. What we do is we core them out, like I said, cut everything off, pack them with
cut,
ice.
Head off.
Yeah, at once they're back at the dock.
And you get the hero photos done.
Exactly, yeah. I hate string that thing up. But you let it rest on ice, like in a kill bag, or what we just leave it inside the coffin box on the Freeman. It's like a giant Yeti, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, you leave it there for at least 24 hours. I'll cut the fish for the people too, but I'll sound like come back in 2 days if you want me to cut it that or
real proper way.
Yeah. Or send it to the processor and they know, let it rest.
Yeah.
Those things can sit on ice for weeks.
Really?
Weeks.
And still be good.
Yeah.
I've heard that. The guys talk about you have to scrub the body cavity out. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, it's almost like a trout. You know, when you're little and you, like, push your finger on that bloodline
mm-hmm.
inside a trout
yeah.
when you're gilling it. It's like that. It's the same thing, but just a way bigger version. You kind of scrape all that out of the inside.
Yeah.
My favorite is I don't know why, but, like, it's really satisfying for me. You scrub the outside with a deck brush. It's kind of like it's almost
dry.
Like you're scrubbing off the mud.
Really?
Yeah, the film that they don't have scales, so they have, like, this, like, film on them. And it's kind of like, it kind of looks like mud, basically, but you scrub it with a deck brush, and then you get to hose it off, and it looks all clean.
And some of them are like chinchillas. They've been, like,
down there rooting around and they're covered in it. And then other ones are kind of cleaner, you know. That's but some of those like bottom feeding ones that you get with the messed up bills and everything, like legit mud bath.
I know that guys come in the store that, you know, that's their goal. Like Pete, you were talking about, like, hey, I really want to have a big swordfish on my own boat. My recommendation, and it is no blowing smoke because you guys are here, it's absolutely the case, is just book a trip with you guys. Regardless
yes.
of, hey, I've got my own boat and it is dialed in and all these things, I still think that, like, that's the most money well spent is go with one of you guys and just see the operation and how you're putting baits down and how you're, like, a trip or two with bite, whether you even catch or not, will shorten your learning curve so fast.
There's
no question. It's the best money well spent if that's your goal.
Even after 6 years, there's not a San Diego operation that's caught more than you can count on one hand. Usually only one or two for clients. You know what I mean? Catching fish with your buds is a big difference than going out with customers and doing it, you know? So, yeah, no, it's our thing for sure, and it's a legit master's class. You'll learn
totally.
Everything.
Nope.
That's what I think. I mean, the value is in learning to do it way more
I did
than
it with Brandon.
Anything else.
I learned
you know?
So much. Yeah. So maybe I'll catch one next
time. That's it.
It's just time, man. It's like everything.
Oh,
just
yeah.
How bad do you want it,
yeah.
right? And if you're like, I want this, I'm going to go 10 times
you
this year, you'll get it. You just
go.
Have to go.
Yeah. Just
and,
like
and,
anything.
Yeah.
You want a bluefin or sea bass or yellowtail.
Yep.
You just have to go.
Nothing comes easy in California.
You also have to go into it knowing that a bite is not going to convert into a fish a lot. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
it's there's several steps that have to go down, and it's like wahoo fishing. Like don't be discouraged. The first time something touches your lure, it often doesn't end in a fish on the boat. You know,
no
like
doubt.
You're gonna have some losses, and you're gonna have heartaches, and you're gonna have one that you got to color, and then the hook fell out of it, and you had one that was halfway up, and this squid got destroyed. And we never even saw the float. Like all of those, but all of those things are what add to it being such a rad deal when it is done and it is laying on the deck. It's part of the cool factor is how tough it is to finally make it happen.
For sure. Well, a guy on the line right now who seems to always go after the prey that he gets, he usually gets one. That's Conway Bowman. Good morning, Conway.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Morning. You probably have one of the highest catch ratios of anybody on your fly fishing for mako sharks, right?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, I mean we're pretty successful, and we've been doing it, guide for over 30 years now. So, but you know, it's guiding, it's fishing, and every day is different. So I'm happy if we get you know one to the boat, you know, throughout the day. But yeah, I've been really blessed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're not here to talk today about catching mako sharks with Conway, but we're here to talk about Cast Hope, and you have a big event coming up at Lake Barrett, believe it or not. What's that all about?
Yeah, we have our big Lake Barrett fundraiser on April 26th. We've got a few spots left, so basically it's our fundraiser, our first fundraiser of 2025, and it's Lake Barrett. It's going to be great. So people can find out about it if you go to casthope.org. All those proceeds for the fundraiser goes towards our Cast Hope San Diego kids to get them out, to get them fishing, just to, you know, expose them to the outdoors. And I always say, you know, fishing is just the key that opens the door to greater opportunity for kids that aren't as fortunate as I was as a kid. To go out and experience the outdoors. So, you know, catching a fish might inspire them to be, I don't know, maybe a wildlife biologist or, hey, maybe even a fishing guide. So, but yeah, April 26th, Lake Barrett. We have a few boats left. There is also a kayak float tube division, and all the information is right there at casthope.org.
And Cast Hope, basically, you're raising money to get kids out on the water, right?
That's right, yeah. So we have a program. It started out in Chico, California. We've been in San Diego for 6 years now. We basically teach the kids not only the skills of fishing, fly fishing, as well as conventional fishing, but also we take the kids out. We teach them about biology. We teach them about, ocean ecology. We take them out on eco trips, doing shark observation, tide pool observation. We work with biologists. We work with, you know, scientists, and also great fishermen. So yeah, it's a great organization. All those proceeds go to get those kids out, and those proceeds help support the program. So, we take the kids fishing absolutely for free. We provide them all their tackle. And if they're in the program for 1 year, we give them everything they need to keep them on the water. So rods, reels, whatever they need. So
that's awesome.
So cool. So cool. And the opportunity to fish Lake Barrett before it opens, it's the week before they open to the public. What an opportunity.
How cool is that?
I mean, and you're going to catch a lot of fish at Lake Barrett. I've been told that fishing is very good this year out there. So the opportunity to do that, and this is the only opportunity you have to do that, and that not only fish an amazing lake with fantastic bass fishing, pretty much just by yourself out there. Very not very many boats on the lake, right?
No. So we have 15 boats, and that's it. And then that's 20 it. Kayaks. So, wow. So that's it. That is it. And we'll have some of our Cast Hope kids there, and they'll be fishing as well. But they'll be on the dock and just around that area. And it's going to be great. Last year we did it; it was unbelievable. Lights out fishing, and it was really a great event. So it gives people a great opportunity to fish. I believe the greatest bass reservoir in the Western United States.
Yep.
And also help out some great kids in a great program.
Cool. And how do we do that?
Go to casthope.org and go to the events page, and that'll drive you right to the Lake Barrett event.
And that's April 26th, you said?
April 26th. Yep, Saturday, April 26th.
Oh, it's on Saturday even. Wow. Awesome. Pretty awesome. Conway,
yeah,
good for you for doing such great things with Cast Hope. Great organization, and jump on that Barrett thing. I thought it was sold out, but I guess there's a couple votes left.
We got a few votes left, and let's get them sold and keep these kids on the water and catching some fish.
All right,
love it.
Thanks, Conway. Great to hear from you. Good luck with it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, had a great text come through here, and it's good morning, guys. Brandon and team. My first question is, what would you use to target white sea bass off the Orange County coast fishing kelp lines? Second is, I'm really excited to hear the last time you were on the show, you made the announcement about Jig Chucker's Ball. Any progress on that, and will there be a film component again this year? That's from Jeff in Huntington Beach.
I feel like I'm hogging all the radio time. I talked to Booger last week. Chucker's Ball's on.
That's cool.
Might even do two of them.
Whoa.
We spitballed ideas about who the cast of characters are going to be, how we're going to create the soap opera, talked about days, all sorts of fun stuff.
Hey.
So the easy way to do it is we'll just put it up on the C4th website.
Awesome.
And the website can do the heavy lifting and bookings. So that's available. So, and if anyone doesn't know...
And you can buy a spot to go.
Yeah. When we did it before, it was like an invite only for the magazine, and there was a lot of feedback like, I want to go fish. The cool thing about fishing is you can't go swing clubs with Tiger Woods. You can go fishing with Don Sansom and Danny Wade and
totally.
these characters.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we're going to do it on that tip. So maybe I could call the show when we have the date.
Absolutely.
And let you know. Her Booker can do it.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
It's going to be in the spring.
It's going to be in the spring. When we did it in the past, it was May. It'll probably be midweek, mm-hmm. late May is what we're talking about. So that's that part. Orange County kelp line sea bass. Pray for downhill current. You have to have current, otherwise you might as well go home. And something that allows you to present your bait into the kelp, whether it's a bobber or whatever. I've got a lot of fly line mackerel. You don't have to have squid all the time. So, yeah, I would fish it like that. I would set up and get your lines close to the kelp and hang on and pray. Seance.
Yep. That's cool. Hey, nice text here from Mike in Rosemead. He says, fish with Jake twice several years ago up in Ventura area, and he partnered up with Rich T. We're on a platform, a low-profile ranger, which kicked ass, getting super close to the islands, and at one point, conditions were right, and took us inside the painted cave just to break up the day. What a professional. Thanks for the memory. He even decided to stop mid-channel to fish a wreck, and we slaughtered the sand bass, catch and release. Kudos for Mike. From Mike.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a fun day.
Yeah, no doubt.
I thought it was going to be a complaint.
No complaints when it comes to
fish.
Are you kidding me? No complaints. That's cool. What a
So you were
before you were bite sport fishing, or fishing for a ranger?
I did on the side, yeah. Well, I was on sport boats. There is a little bait boat up there I used to run.
And that's you run it out to the Channel Islands?
Yeah.
What is the Painted Cave? I've heard of it, but tell us about that.
Big giant cave on the front side of Santa Cruz, way up towards the west end. It's pretty far. You can only go up there when the weather's good.
Yeah.
But it's huge. I mean,
and you can drive right inside?
Yeah, you can drive around, spin around in there. It's huge.
Yeah,
we've brought sport boats inside of it. It's giant. It's pretty cool.
Sport boats inside the cave? Wow.
That's rad.
Way up inside and go look around. Like, all the antennas are looking up towards the ceiling and stuff. It's pretty rad.
That's got to be insane. Yeah. And why do they call it the Painted Cave? Is it paint? Are there
it's
are
just
Indian
all...
paintings inside?
No, I wish. No. The Indians went in there and painted it. Yeah. No, it's just all the rocks and everything. Yeah. It's just all different colors, blues and purples, and so it's pretty rad.
There's an amazing, and I forget what it's called, but an amazing documentary about the Channel Islands. And it's narrated by Joe Walsh from the Eagles.
It's really good.
It's really, really good. If you haven't seen West of West, have you seen that, Ricky?
I haven't.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. And you can get it on, I think, Amazon or Netflix or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Amazon?
Let's be real. If you stripped the islands out of Southern California, there's kind of no reason to live here. Like, it's the best thing going, man. Oh, you know? Yeah. You can escape the millions of people and... I hoop netted the Bay last weekend, and I was kind of looking towards LAX, and I'm like, wow, staring at 8 million people.
Right.
8 million people in this slice right here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, the islands are incredible.
How was hooping?
It was slow. Alex got 40. We caught 11.
Yeah. Fishing Santa Monica Bay?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
And you were out in the same night?
No, he got his conditions were better for Alex.
We were next door to each other.
Okay, conditions for lobster. What makes a good lobster condition?
Why'd you go on that? What was going on that night?
The swell. Swell. Water clarity. Everything's just lined up perfect.
So you want clearer water?
Yeah, from what I found. I'm no expert or anything like that, but from what I found over the years of doing it, yeah, the clearer water versus that nasty. Murky beach water.
Yeah.
I think it does make a difference for sure.
And Santa Monica Bay doesn't get commercially fished, so there's opportunity there, right? Right.
It's a big playground.
Yeah, big playground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tons of shorts.
Really?
Yeah, like just barely shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of lobster. Good biomass of lobster up there.
Yeah. Cool. And you guys fish it up there. Where do you keep the boat? In Marina Del Rey?
No, you come up from Long Beach. It's closer than Catalina.
Oh,
and you get to ride up the federal breakwall where it's always hot and glassy.
Ah.
Yeah. No, it's closer to Catalina going around the horn of Palos Verdes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Hey, another fun text is Brandon, this was from Brandon in Long Beach. Question I have for all the boys, what do you guys feel is the possibility of albacore this season? And if not this, what will it take to have those things back in the SoCal bite?
I don't think Jake's seen one. Have you seen one? Have you touched
one? I saw one with Alex.
Oh, on the we caught one together.
What living one I've seen.
That's right. What do you think, Alex?
Albacore, the abundance of anchovy this year, and really the past couple of years, really offshore. It's promising. I'm not going to sit here and predict that, but it's very promising. It's soon coming, for sure, in terms of the albies. Yeah, for sure. If not this year, then next.
So Steve Crook really burst my bubble at PCS. He says, I'm sorry, Pete, the water charts are just not indicating to me that it's going to happen this year. Because I guess the years that we had albacore, the 62-degree water, the magic water, was way south, like almost down to Mag Bay and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He says it's still up north. It's up off of Central California and stuff. Mm-hmm. He says for us to get albacore, we need to have that south of us at this point, and it's not right now.
Interesting.
That's from the scientist Steve. Now he says things happen, things can change.
Right.
Like you say, the biomass of anchovy. I mean, you would think, come on, where are you, albacore? Bring them in, right? Yeah. But I mean, will you be satisfied with a whole bunch of bluefin again?
I'll take that. That's fine.
I just can't believe what our baseline to a fishery is in California these days. Yeah, you know, 40 to 70 pound bluefin. That's it. Huh?
Yeah. No triple digit fish. Huh? That's okay.
It's so shifted.
Yeah, but we'll take that.
It's an amazing fishery, of course.
I mean, you talk about guys, Florida has been an amazing fishery, Carolina's an amazing fishery. And stuff,
right.
But nobody has what we have here. I mean, there's nothing.
From a charter perspective, I get a lot of interest from Americans outside of California and international anglers on bluefin. And what's the common theme? Something that's totally lost on us. You can keep two per day. We have the most liberal bluefin limit, I think, in the world.
Yeah.
Usually it's like one big one per boat or one per person.
Or season.
Two. When it went to two for us, I was like, oh, my God, only two.
Yeah.
You don't need more than that. And yeah.
Especially if you get the big ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure. You have a good one there?
I do. Let me bring it right back up. Question is, Every time captains are on the show and we ask them their favorite type of fishing, everybody always seems to say the same thing, surface iron yellowtail. My question is, why is that?
Boys?
It's all preference. I don't know. It's just because you can pull the hardest on those things. It's like a sport boat mentality, I feel like. You just want to pull as hard as you can. And that's like the one fish you can do, and you won't rip them off.
I'm with you. So many people grew up, you know, that's the traditional way to come up is, you know, is fishing on sport boats, and that's the, on the half-day trip, that's the pinnacle thing that you're hoping to achieve, and that's the coolest way to catch one. And
catch a yellow.
Yeah, it's just, it
takes
it's
a little
like,
more steez to do it than the other guys on the boat.
It's part of the culture.
It's kind of the culture.
Yeah. We're taking off Thursday on a crew trip. Lobster season's over. Weather's poor. We're just going to hit pause and do a little audible and all hang out together. We could go anywhere. We've gone to Africa on crew trips before and all over the place. Where are we going?
You take the boat to Africa?
Not yet.
Not yet. That,
but, it's a long run.
We could go. My point is we could do anything.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to L.A. Bay because the weather's perfect and there's surface iron yellowtail biting.
Totally.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually when the weather's overcast and rainy here, it's flat calm down there, right?
It's dream weather late next week, yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Rare, nice weather.
That sounds like a good one for sure. I have another one, good one here from Jason in Point Loma. He says, wow, what a good show. Good morning, everybody. I can't believe you got all these cool cats together and their knowledge. The question is for the boys, what is your favorite go-to rod and reel setup and your favorite fish to catch with it? What about you, Jake?
My favorite reel ever is a Trinidad 16. I do just do anything with it. Trinidad 16.
16A?
Yeah, 16A, unless you want to be gangster and you have a gold one.
Yeah.
That and like a 30, 40-pound rod, like at 800M or something, some 6480. Yeah. Like any of these like classic glass blanks that you can kind of do it all with.
Calstar
or Seeker, I mean, that's what I've always fished. Yeah. That's what I grew up fishing was the glass rods and can't break them. And it's all preference. I mean, we had Phoenixes forever, and those are great too. A little bit lighter, but, I mean, you can just never go wrong with that old school style. It's kind of timeless.
What about you, Alex?
I'll go back to that surface iron yellowtail thing, the Lua and the Newell 332 would be mine.
Wow.
A throwback.
I would take a True Line D8 because it was rated for 15 to 80 pounds. I'd take it. It's 8 foot, so you can cast, do anything with it, and I'd put a Trinidad 20 on it.
And what are you going to catch with it?
Freaking everything. Yeah. Fly line a Chovy for albacore, a surface iron yellowtail, fish a bobber in the kelp for 70-pound sea bass. You could do anything with the D8.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your texts and a whole lot more with the boys from the Bite. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app and Facebook and YouTube Live.
This year, make reliable boating your resolution and back it with exhilarating deals with a new Yamaha outboard during Yamaha's New Year, New Reliability sales event. From now until March 31st, 2025, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 450 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of coverage protection. Looking to hit the water with lower horsepower? There's a deal for you too. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $200 in dealer credit toward the purchase of additional goods and services. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends March 31st, 2025. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24-month Yamaha extended service added to a 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealer for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-styled metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. APCO's crossbreed jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. APCO's crossbreed jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on APCO.com.
All right, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, man, with this past PCS show, you want to talk about a reel that was absolutely flying. It was that brand-new, redesigned Talica A-Series. I mean, from a reel that was perfect before they started, you always wonder how somebody could possibly make that better, and they just did.
And they did. Yeah. And the proof was in the pudding, because at the Shimano booth, they have the side-by-side, the 25.
Wasn't that a great display?
And I couldn't believe it. You turn the handle on the new one, it's even more powerful, which was super powerful than the old one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A lower low gear ratio, a different spool design. The frame is shrunk down a little so it fits in your hand better. Same line capacity, different drag system. It was just they absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, four different sizes available now. Check it out at your local Shimano.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Been a very busy show, as you could guess, having Brandon and Jake and Alex in here having a great time this morning. If you want to text in a question of the show, there's still time. It's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Keep them coming.
For sure. Well, you have a great text, huh?
I thought so. It says, hey, guys, can you describe how to best use the fluke for white sea bass? What weight? How does the cast and retrieve work? Do you fish it on the bottom or on the surface, feed retrieve, et cetera? Any advice would be helpful. I'm dying to go do that. That's from Ed and Ventura.
It's kind of the same. It's like a tool. It just depends on the situation. If they're up high, fish a lighter weight. If they're down deep, I'll sink it all the way out to, like, if we're fishing a mountain, like, 70 to 90 feet, too. Just fishing with, like, a 1 or all the way up to a 2-ounce head. If they're up shallow, like a half or even a quarter ounce, something the lightest you can get away with that you can still cast, and just hop it around. You just point your rod tip, kind of keep your rod tip high, and just hop it around. A lot of times they eat it right after you pop it, right on the paws.
All right. That's cool. Good stuff. Yeah. I got another good one here from Daniel in Santa Barbara. A lot of listeners there north of L.A. Listening today. Thank you, guys. Good morning, gents. Good show. Brandon, are there other baits besides squid that will work to catch deep drop sort?
Yes, yeah. The belly strip is used a lot on the East Coast. The Gulf Stream and their current and their forage base is different, but any of those strip baits will work. A big tentacle off of a giant squid, kind of anything. They're real foragers. And in areas where they have a lot more swords than us, like Tasmania and such, they're using big, giant, rotting chunks and whole dead baits and stuff. The science is like the bait presentation, or moreover, finding the water that they're in, you know, not just driving to your nearest bank. So, yeah, you can catch them on a wide variety of baits. Eels, they catch them on iguana tails and things like that in Florida. Like, they'll eat anything, man.
That being said,
yeah,
what do you use, Jake?
Squid's our go-to, but we've caught them on tentacles and other stuff, too. Yeah. Yeah, it's they're not picky at all. Like Brandon said, they're not picky. It's more just a matter of finding the right water and getting something in front of them, whether that's a squid or a strip bait or anything. Just getting something in front of them, they're going to eat it.
Any particular size of squid that's good?
They all get bit. We've experimented. We've gone through the ringer of all of it. I like the smaller ones because they're pretty dumb with the way they eat. They're really good and very precise with how they use their bill and can slice things up, and they know exactly where they're going to hit with it and, like, piece things up, but they're not really good with getting it in their mouth. And you think you put this giant thing on their face that kind of obstructs their way they can eat. So I like the smaller baits. It seems like they kind of get them,
like,
down their throat,
like,
a little better.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. We've used them all the way up to, like, foot and a half long, two
big
feet,
ones,
almost,
huh?
Giant, these big giant squid. They'll still eat it, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, intricate, you know, East Coast sewing of the squid and spending 30 minutes, like, prepping this perfect thing that's all sewn up crazy, and also seeing guys pin a squid on like they were fishing a calico bass at an island somewhere, and kind of everything in between. How important is the, I guess you call it the way you rig the squid up for what you guys do?
We get super in-depth with it. Probably doesn't need to go that crazy. I think the biggest thing is just making sure that it swims straight and survives the very long fall it takes to get 1,000 feet down. If your bait's all mangled up by the time it gets down there and your bait's just spinning in a circle like a helicopter, like it's bunched up on the back of your hook, then you're probably not going to have a good shot.
You sew up your own.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of places you can buy good ones, too, like Baitmasters. You know, the tackle shop sells theirs. They're really good, too. I trust my own crimping and all that stuff, so I like to do it myself.
There's a video on our YouTube channel that myself and Greg Stotesbury did about how to sell a squid. It's not that hard, but there is definitely some technique to it, or you want the hook placement and all that stuff, right? And like
exactly.
You said, not have it tear out when you're dropping it 1,000 feet.
You bring up such a good point. Like, it takes a long time for that bait to get there, and then the drifts aren't necessarily short either. Like, you've got that bait down there for a long time, and you have no idea what it's doing. And if that thing is totally boogered up, you've just committed potentially hours worth of time. So, like, there's no chance of that thing getting a bite.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than winding up after, like, a 3-hour drift and your stuff's tangled or your bait's gone or something like that. And you're like, oh, cool, I just wasted half of my day, basically, in these short winter days.
Yeah. You sew up your own too, Alex?
I haven't had much experience doing this sort of stuff, so I'll be right behind the master here.
Having Jake show you.
Yes, sir.
And you have Jake sew yours up, right?
Yes.
It turns out that Jake sews up everything.
How did I just know that, right?
What I did see, so 2019 was the breakout sword year, and everyone was scrambling. The Avalon guys had been catching them before, you know? And so when I decided, like, oh, I'm going to start doing this in September, I just called RJ Boyle, talked to his right-hand guy, and said, hey, talk to me like I'm a second grader. What do I need to know? Here's my credit card. Send me what I need. And they mailed out the baits, which included beautiful stitched-up squid. I was the first one to put a paying customer on a deep-drop swordfish in California.
Wow.
The squid we used was, like, 11 inches. I was like, this is, like, the size of a big market squid. Yeah. The range of baits you can use is incredible for them, is my point. And if you don't have the time or whatever, that's what's great about money. You solve for why by paying someone to do it. So Baitmasters, RJ, there's a host of bait companies that can send you good rigged up squids. Crimp that sucker on, you're good to go.
That's it. I like it.
All right, cool. You have a good one, huh?
Says, good morning, guys. Messages for Brandon and really all of the team. One of the things I struggle with is finding the best method of hooking my mackerel when I'm fishing the Hamburg Acer rig. Can I ask what has worked best for you guys?
Oh, that's good John question. West Hills.
Yeah, I use that single hook, and I go straight up through the roof of the mouth, like between the eyeballs, so that bait's, like, really on there and really impaled. And that's the opposite. I use, like, the biggest mackerel I can get. Like, you can use, like, a 2-pound mackerel. It doesn't matter. Bigger bait, the better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big hook, big mackerel, and just impale that thing right up through the roof.
Right up through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is he still alive?
Wiggling like an SOB.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Even more so.
He's upset. There's a flashy thing between his eyes. That rig gets bit because it looks like a mackerel that's eating a sardine or something. And there's a lot of flutter and there's a lot of commotion.
That up through the roof of the mouth is good, too, because it doesn't allow – it minimizes that hook, like, ending up somewhere that you don't want it to. Mm-hmm. You need to go crossways through the eyes like a regular fly line bait, and that thing's shaking so much with the lure putting weight on the other end. The hooks will turn around and catch the gill plate or go into the eyeball or something like that. Like, open the mouth, up through the roof of it. It doesn't give a lot of room for the hook to end up somewhere bad that might cause you from getting the hook into them when you do get a bite.
I fly line with that outfit, too. So for fly line mackerel fishing for sea bass, I always use a crocodile. Always. But before I did that, I would just fly line regular, and I would use a treble hook. Because one prong goes in the bait, and then there's two prongs sticking out. Just like how back in the day when guys would jig mackerel and fish the Coronados and you talk to Buzz or someone, they use treble hooks.
That's our sea bass, right? We like to take those crocodiles and then just cut the hook off. We like to braise on like a bigger than normal treble hook, like a 4-0 or 5-0 or even a 6-0 treble hook.
Whoa.
We just put one barb in the mackerel and just seem to be up through the mouth, but like I like that big treble.
Impaler.
Yeah.
Impaler.
Plus, you hook those things with big treble hooks, especially any fish you hook with a big treble hook that eats it good, like, they are extremely well-behaved.
Ripping in a Terran.
They don't like that. And do you slow troll that rig, too?
I've caught a good amount of sea bass slow trolling, usually when the current's conditions. Current smoking, kelp canopies pushed down, which means we actually have kelp, which is a different era. But I slow troll with just a hook. Hook them through the nose, crosswise through the nose, or you could hook them in the neck. Big single hook, like an Aki twist or something.
Okay, and no crocodile.
Correct.
Yeah, yep. Gotcha. All right. Darren Amenifee says, good morning, guys. Sorry for the late show. Is Day at the Docks going to be bigger than ever? Will you guys be there? And so we can talk about swords. Day at the Docks is April 13th, mm-hmm. Sunday, April 13th, and Let's Talk Hookup will have a booth there. And Ricky, of course, Fisherman's Landing will have a booth there. Now, you guys are going to be a part of the day at the docks. Are you going to do some seminars and stuff like that?
No seminars, but last year, in the past, Jake's gone down and just kind of informally been on the Freeman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of the funnest parts about it. It's nothing is set in stone, but a lot of the boats are kind of coming out of their maintenance period. A lot of the boats are looking really good. Some of the boats are still scrambling, and the tarp is up, and they're trying to get ready for the oncoming fish. But, you know, that's one of the fun parts about Day at the Docks is a lot of boats, if they are in position, will have, like, an open house and have the boat open, and you can walk down on board and find your favorite bunk or your favorite stateroom. Or, you know, if we get lucky, in the case of these guys aren't fishing, you can go check out the Freeman. And
I think what we'll do is we'll bring the Invincible over.
That'd be cool.
We'll have the Invincible over. We'll do 60-mile-an-hour boat rides in the bay.
There you go.
That sounds like
so
a fun thing.
So explain the Invincible. So how does it differ from – it's a catamaran.
There's two main catamaran companies.
Yeah.
Freeman has always been Katz. If you ever want to check out Freeman and the story, just Google Freeman, Billy Freeman story, and there's an amazing 9-minute video about how a blue-collar guy created the ultimate boat in his backyard.
Wow.
He never made monohulls before. He solved for why. There's a problem. What do you do in business when you want to be successful? There's a problem. There's a need for something. No one else is doing it. He did that with Freeman. Invincible is a monohull company which started making catamarans because it was a 4-year wait for a Freeman. They went to Morelli and Melvin, which is right here on Shelter Island, and hit them up about the ultimate kind of catamaran design. Can Google that as well. It's fascinating. So
the highest end naval architect type.
Thank you.
Right?
Yep. So on one shoe, there's this CAD design, in depth, hydrodynamics, and on the other side, there's a dude who's just like chewing on a pencil, going like, "Let's try this and do this." These are the two major players in the catamaran market. An opportunity came up for an Invincible. Someone had ordered one, ate the deposit on it, and it's a long story. But essentially, we're buying this boat because we need another boat and we don't want to have to move so much and do certain things. So it rides different than the Freeman.
How big is it?
It's 35. It's about 6 inches.
So it's bigger than the Freeman.
Yeah, by a few inches, but it's also wider. And the fit and finish on the Invincible is much nicer. There's more seating. There's seating for 7 or 8 people, and it's like a polished charter boat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It still doesn't ride as good as the Freeman.
No?
No.
The Freeman's like the badass workhorse.
Yeah.
And the Invincible is a little more fit and finish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a great boat as well. Beautiful tower on it. And that's kind of our sauce and our DNA is go fast.
And how big are the outboards on that?
That has quad 300s on it.
Quad 4 300s?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
But
how fast is it?
We tried to race for pink slips in the harbor, and the Freeman like held with the twin 450s.
Cool. Really did.
Wow.
Yeah. It'll go 60 plus.
Wow.
You don't do that on trips. You pull it back. We're cruising in the 40s usually.
Unreal. Cruising in the 40s.
With good weather. But
Alex likes that idea.
The first time I drove the Freeman, I was scared.
I'll bet.
When I bought it in Cabo, right. And like, oh, you can test drive it. And like, I've never gone that fast in a boat either. I was legit like, oh, this is what it feels like to be scared.
That's crazy.
And then you have the third boat you have is the Mexicat. Explain the Mexicat.
Yeah, that's
such a cool little boat.
It's a cool little pocket rocket of a boat. It's a great island boat.
How big?
It's 26.
And powered, what's power?
It has twin 150s. If I could redo it, I would have put 115s on it. Huh. As we always want more power.
You don't need 150s.
Yeah, no. That thing cruises like a Parker does, mid to high 20s. You know what I mean? It's not a performance cat. It's not the Freeman where you can spin on a dime and do all that other stuff. Can get out of the weather in it. The bow's open for fishing. I'm super happy with that boat. I'll run that boat with my customers, 1, 2, 3 people. It's going to be good for this local sea bass we're going to get.
Probably
again.
Really good for lobstering, huh?
Great for lobster.
Yeah.
Great on fuel.
Yeah.
Pushing 3 miles per gallon quite often.
Wow.
So that, you know, I looked at the landscape and everyone's going this route of bigger, faster boats and prices are going up. And I was like, well, how do I start charging less? Kind of flip the script, you know?
Yeah.
We're also doing shorter trips this year. In the past, or currently, we do these marathon 12-plus-hour trips with 2 licenses and have to go far. And then I was also like, not everyone wants to be on a boat for 14 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm clicking it back to 2011, 12, 13, 14, and doing 8 and 10-hour trips as well.
Easier on the pocketbook, easier on the person.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. And
exactly.
And with the speed, you're going to get there anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Jake and I were talking about it, texting the other night in Louisiana, which is the market you look at when you want to see go fast cats. They charge a flat rate. The clients charge for fuel. They're doing 10 and 11 hour trips and still going 70 plus miles.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Come home at 5 before the fuel dock, you know?
Yeah. And what how far on a typical trip will you go? It just depends on where the fish are.
How far is the Cortez Bank?
Really?
That's where we go on one-day trips now. The top end of our range.
Crazy. Wow. That is so 100 miles. Crazy.
You have to be able to go where that bluefin is. And we've learned the trajectory changes. They're not going to march up the beach and be 2 miles off the beach or 4 miles or 6 miles, you know? Yeah. You got to be able to fish from the 60 to the Cortez.
Cool. Crazy.
I had a great text. It says, good morning, guys. So excited to have this team on there. My question is for Alex. Knowing that you seem to be the master of the yellowfin tuna, can you give us a tip for fishing yellowfin tuna on porpoise from a private boat? What do we look for in terms of dolphin behavior, approach, setup on a school, et cetera?
Great question.
That's a great question. There's many ways to look at it. The easiest way to tell when it comes to dolphin fishing is the formation of the dolphins, obviously, the movement. I always go by the westward movement. Dolphins is the one that holds fish. A southern and eastern. It's not always the case, obviously, but the western movement in formation of a dart, you can say, in that triangle. How you attack it, I always like to lead it. Some guys like to just go right in the middle, troll right through it. Personally, I think the fish are on the leading edge. Not always the case, obviously, but the fish are most likely aren't always on the leading edge. Dolphins follow the fish. So I like to go in front of it, put my trollers in front of it, either you're going to fish on the slide, pull out of gear in front of the dolphins, that kind of thing. I mean, you'll see it in the machines too, but just from visual fishing, you'll see it. The birds will be right in front, that kind of thing. Follow birds, follow whatever visual signs you have, but stay in front of the dolphins versus chopping it up. You'll have that school longer under you.
Good advice. You think the birds are the key?
Oh, for sure, 100%.
If a dolphin school doesn't have birds, does it not have tuna?
Not always. Not always. But usually you have your single-turn bird, and you share water buzzing around. Mm-hmm. It's always bird-related somehow, some way.
Yeah, because they're all eating.
They're all eating. Everyone's got to eat.
That's it.
Everyone's got to eat.
Yeah. Another good question here from Troy in Newport Beach. Good morning, guys. I've been fortunate enough to fish with Jake and Alex on open party trips recently. My question is, do they have more open party trips coming for sea bass?
Yeah, we have that schedule. If anyone's listening, or Troy, if you want to text me, it's easy to find my phone number, or just thumb through our Instagram. The PCS show had like a raft of photos and updates and such, and included in that was the open party
schedule. Is your Instagram?
Bite_sportfishing.
Bite_sportfishing. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. And do you have a website?
We do. I have a website. I'm websited up. Bitesportfishing.com.
Okay. And the information's on there too?
Yeah. It has the info on the boats, the size of the boats. The website's curious. There's tabs. Every question you could possibly want answered. But the way it works these days is people go to the home screen and then send an email, right? There's no one peels the onion back. It's really interesting. Yeah. So all the info's on there, but just, you know, I still call people when they drop an email. I call them because it's such a give and take of info, you know?
Yeah. So people are welcome to call you.
Yeah, of course.
What's the phone number?
949-212-0719. And, you know, searching anything, Bite Instagram, Bite website, Bite whatever, it all pops up.
Not B-I-T, it's B-I-G-H-T.
B-I-G-H-T.
B-I, like the California Bite, as you always call it, right?
Yep.
With you having multiple giant cats and huge motors, but then you having the Mexi cat and sliding by, how long until you just buy another Arima and are just running?
Dude, I saw that little one at the show with my kids. I was like, oh. If I found the original Rima, I would buy that sucker back.
Be the Anthony Shea mood. Get your old.
There's
back.
Something to be said. I love the growth and the everything, but there is something to be said about when it was just one person and doing it and
one like man charter.
The simplicity of it.
Yeah,
those are fun times.
Those are fun times. I also have a habit of making things what on the surface seems like more confusing than they need to be, but it's just what has to be done to get the job done.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's great. A lot to talk about with bike sport fishing. I want to know, how much fuel do those quads burn?
It's the same.
It's like one-to-one. It's the same as a Parker.
It's so fun. The West Coast narrative first was like, catamarans, those don't work. You can't run those. Who would run a catamaran? They're ugly. They ride horrible. Okay, now there's like 60 Freemans on the West Coast, okay? The other thing is the taboo around quads and engines and how expensive they are. You just save the money for it. You know what your repower costs are. You know what fuels are, and you build that into your pricing in a creative way that isn't just copying someone, you know?
Lot to it.
So, yeah. But, yeah, the fuel economy with quads is the same as with twins because they're not working as hard.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup, including finding out who's going fishing on board the San Diego. More Let's Talk Hookup with the team from the Bite when we return to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube Live.
You know, whether you're going fishing, diving, or just having fun on the water, there's nothing more worth doing than messing around in boats. So let me ask you, are you ready to upgrade your ride? Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland is your exclusive Western U.S. dealer for Steiger Craft. Created for inshore and offshore waters and laid out with the serious fishermen in mind, Steiger Craft has built a solid reputation for performance and excellent rough water handling. If adventure on the water is what you live for, now's the time to invest in your passion. Call Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland at 510-437-1444. To look at the whole fleet of Steiger Craft online, go to steigercraft.com. Now's the time for a rugged, reliable, and fast Steiger Craft from Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check independentsportfishing.com.
It may be winter in Southern California, but those of us who live here know it's a great time of year to go fishing, and certainly not time to put your gear away. This is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing, in Mission Bay, the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. This is the ideal time for bay bass fishing, and I get the inside scoop from Johnny. Heck, he will even rent you one of our killer blue skiffs. This is also a good time to go work on your reels, and Doug is the man for that job. If big largemouth bass are your bag, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. They have all the right stuff and live bait for a perfect day on the lake. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle is super cool too, for both freshwater and saltwater tackle. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle is on Broadway and Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lunch Ramp in Michigan. Check DanaLanding.com for more details.
For 48 straight years, Ford F-Series have been the best-selling trucks in America and certainly number one with anglers. We got here by engineering breakthrough technology, redefining build Ford tough, and never settling. But what really made Ford F-Series number one is you. So now is the time to take advantage of great deals and programs today. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today and explore the F-Series and the full truck lineup. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a great time today has been. Lots of fun, lots of good opportunities.
Jake,
we're
going to
have Jake flip the prize coin, let it hit the deck. We'll find out if we have a caller or a texter today. Today we have a texter, and congratulations, Ed in Ventura. You won yourself a full-day trip on board the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing. Congratulations.
All right. Hey, Brandon, Alex, and Jake. Great show, man. We got to
so
do this
good,
again.
You guys.
Somebody wants to book a trip with any of these guys, sea bass, yellowtail, tuna, swordfish.
Sure. Well, first off, if I don't do this, I'm going to get a complaint. I got to say what's up to my kids, Finn and Ella, who are listening, the dynamic duo.
Hey, Finn and Ella.
Love you guys. Ella, I can't wait to watch you win at soccer.
Today. Nice. Sure. Awesome.
Anyways, if you want to hit us up, Google's your friend, Bite Sport Fishing. All our info is on there. Or call Jake. Jake, drop your phone number.
805, like that, 805. 805-630-2126.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Great show.
Guys. Great to have you.
Thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Cook Up app. And, of course, Jeff. Well, tomorrow morning, we'll be back on The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, and, of course, the Let's Talk Cook Up app. Great show tomorrow with... we're going to have Captain Aliar from the Polaris Supreme and Captain Max from the Pacific Voyager.
Nice.
That's going to be a great show, 7 and 9 a.m., right back here on Let's Talk Hookup on 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, and, of course, the Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll see you then.